Welcome to the Fitness Candor Podcast. Your host, Eric Feigl, will be bringing you the truth about exercise and the fitness industry. You'll hear from fitness professionals, exercise science professors and researchers, fitness industry entrepreneurs and leaders, as well as people who simply love to talk shop. Stick around after the show to learn how you can get your topic in an upcoming episode. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Fitness Candor Podcast. My guest today is my good friend of 15 years, Jason Warner. He and I met in undergrad back at EIU. He is a former athlete, a swimmer at EIU, still takes care of himself. Honestly, I'm looking at him right now, and he looks like the very first day I met him at EIU. So there's like something in the sauce, man. I think you've got something that you need to share. But anyway, Jason's always been physically active, always taking care of himself, very health conscious across the board. Now, you know, he's been married for a long time, two kids, working from home because it's COVID season. It's not really a season because in the midst of COVID. But a lot of things have changed. He's progressed over the years in terms of what his workouts look like, I'm sure. So I kind of wanted to jump on to see what he's doing now to take care of himself. So Jason, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, Eric, for having me on.
So let's start. Give everybody maybe a brief background of your history in terms of, let's start with like your athletics as youth and then moving into high school and college era.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of kids, I was involved in, you know, the baseball, basketball, soccer growing up, some of the time in actually Hawaii, Ohio area, Dayton, Ohio, moved to Chicago area when I was 10, where really I feel like I actually grew up, you know, did those sports, always loved it. I mean, I preferred sports over school, you know, doing schoolwork. So that probably drove my parents crazy, but that was just kind of a thing that was always natural for me to be involved in and to really enjoy. Not that I was always necessarily the best athlete, but it just was that brought me. That's kind of where I wanted to be.
Hey, Jason, your audio just cut out.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
There you go. Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Personal phone also doubles as work line too. So,
all right. That's fair.
Sorry about that. So you had mentioned swimming, and yep. I didn't actually get into, of course, I knew how to swim lessons, things like that. Didn't actually get into competitive swimming until I was about 13, which in the world of competitive swimming is pretty late. And it was, you know, kind of one of those things where was looking at, you know, moved to Chicago area when I was 10 and maybe had gone as far as I was going to go with kind of baseball, you know, hitting 13, things start to go to the next level. What do I want to do? And my mom's actually the one that kind of said, hey, what about the swim club? So now I really love to be active, of course, and jump right into that. And that's a great social sport as far as meeting friends. And because sometimes you're sitting around for hours, you know, all day swim meet. And so that's where that started. And really, once I started swimming, I maybe played baseball for another year or two. Soccer had stopped. And that's where that took off. Okay. And then of course did that through high school. And then of course, you know, in college.
Okay. So let's go to like the high school period. Were you, what were you doing? So you're just focusing on swimming in terms of athletics.
Yeah.
Right. Were you, was there any kind of like regimented or structured strength and conditioning program? Or was it like the coach was kind of like, hey, do your own thing or don't do anything at all. And then you'll come in and just swim. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, back then, it's probably different now, but back then, it would have been, you go to practice 5 or 6 days a week, there's meets in the weekends, and, you know, yes, it was encouraged to do some of your own weightlifting. Again, we're not talking heavy-duty stuff, but just, you know, you do your stretching, or you do your kind of full-body type of workouts.
Okay.
But I always liked going to the gym, you know, once I hit about 13, I was going with, cause my parents, you know, especially my mom would go to the racket and fitness club and, in Homewood there in the South suburbs. So I would go along and do some workouts and do you know, lifting, things like that. So I always kind of did that on the side, whether my coach was saying to do it or not.
Right.
Just because I liked it. And, but as far as the actual swimming itself, it was that specific, just, okay, here's your 2 hour practice every night. And then you kind of go home and do your own thing. Yeah.
Right. So what were those, where were your own things coming from? It was like the typical Men's Health magazine style workouts.
Probably. If yeah. Even that, I don't even know, you know, if at 15, where I was getting, it wasn't online, right? I mean, it wasn't, there's so much information. Yeah. I didn't have a personal trainer, and it probably was that kind of thing where you just hear like, oh yeah, here's your three sets of 12, or, you know, just your basic kind of full body. And I think coaches would have given some guidance about, okay, hey, go in and do these kind of things. I mean, it wasn't heavy deadlifts and heavy bench. I mean, with swimming, it's more of mobility. And so it would have been a higher rep kind of suggestions to do in the gym.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how did that change your workouts, specifically from a swimming aspect, from high school to college? What did the transition, just in terms of not even weightlifting, but just the overall like practice and, you know, your schedule, how did that transfer from college or from high school to college?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a lot more intense and a lot more focused. I mean, as you know, I was homeschooled, and so I wasn't on the official, I wasn't able to be on the official high school swim team. And so I always had to swim club. Yeah. And so I think it was, the club season is much longer, and it's intense, but it's spread out over a long period of time. And the season's twice as long. Whereas a high school season may start in, I don't know, September and ends in November.
Oh, wow.
And so I was used to, and actually the college season mimics the club season because it is from August all the way through February. Okay. But when you're, but it's, everything's focused because everyone's the same age, right? I mean, in club season, you have people that are, you know, the high school swimmers in their off. So I may be practicing with the girls team that's not in season. And so there's just, or, you know, two lanes down, three lanes down, you may have the younger kids. And so the focus, as far as the coaches are concerned, they're spread out. They're spread thin.
Okay.
Right. But it once I bumped into college, I was really looking forward to it because I was really looking forward to the idea of having something very focused. Everybody's kind of working towards the same goal instead of saying, well, I'm trying to get these 10-year-olds over here to
yeah.
and we're obviously doing different things in practice, but, you know, and there are assistant coaches, but it's not quite the same. But when you're in a pool with, so I really didn't experience that until I was, you know, in college. It was spread out over a longer season, but everything was much more intense.
Okay.
Just because I think you're around people that are your age that are, you know, and then you have double practices a day for two of the days out of the week. So, you know, 6 days a week, double practices, traveling on the weekends. So it was just much more eat, sleep, and swim. Yes, of course, there's college classes, but we're not that important. It's not like North Carolina, you know, basketball or something or whatever.
Right. So, okay. So in terms of the workout, the strength workouts, you went from doing mostly your own thing
right.
for the majority of your career. And then you get into college. How did that switch?
Yeah. And so it was still, you know, the equipment we were using at EIU was, it was not the newer,
equipment.
We were stuck in that old gym, the old weightlifting equipment, you know, from the 80s, maybe.
I had class in that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was 2 or 3 days a week, you know, every other day. And it was still a more of a total body, full body workout every time. So I wouldn't say it was a little bit more structured than I would have known, just kind of doing my own thing, just sort of randomly. And this was, okay, you have to go around and do sort of a circuit, you know, make, you know, some bench, you know, lats, some shoulders, legs. Yeah. And so you're really hitting everything. And then there'd be some stretching or a little bit of Pilates is even thrown in there on occasion, is more of a sort of stretching mobility type of thing. So,
okay.
And it would have been back to that higher rep. It wouldn't have been heavy duty, you know, low rep range or bodybuilding type of workouts.
Okay.
It was more structured though, because it was, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, every other day, hit all the body parts. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking, was it more like when you got in there, and was it, okay, the people that you were swimming with, did they kind of usher you into the gym and say, hey, this is what we're doing, kind of follow us? Or was there like an introductory period where your coach was like, hey, here's your program, you're going to follow this Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Oh, right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, it was the whole team would do it together. So it wasn't just a couple guys. I mean, it was, this is our lifting time for 45 minutes.
Okay, so everybody was kind of there, but when you got there, was it like, was the coach there also, you know, guiding the program, or was it more like from the people who were already, you know, if you got in there, was it somebody, were your teammates saying, hey, this is just what we do, follow us?
No, I mean, it would have been the coach. The coach was okay. Pretty much saying like, hey, here's your program, hit it up. And it was still very, I mean, it's probably Stone Age compared to what swim clubs. I mean, this is, you know, 2004, 2005. So you think 15, 16 years later, you know, especially at some of the bigger name schools. I mean, Eastern, technically it's Division I, but the, you know, the money's not there to have a specific strength and conditioning coach for the swim team. You know, maybe the football team's going to have that. But it was structured by the coach.
Okay.
In kind of an old school way. And it's just like, okay, well, let's just hit every body part.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. And again, for swimming, it is about balance. You don't necessarily want to overdevelop one thing too much. I mean, a lot of core work too. I mean, a lot of in swimming is all core work because of the rotation that you do. So we would do a lot of, you know, sit-ups and some medicine ball work, things like that, aside from the actual weights itself.
Okay. Okay. So what did that translate? So let's say you go into your senior year, you had your last workout in the gym, right? Yeah. Swimming season's wrapped up. It's what, 2006 at this point. So we're, you know, you and I haven't even really worked out together before. And then we get in, when we live together during that summer, and that's when you and I started training together. Hey, let's meet at the YMCA. And, you know, I vaguely remember some of those workouts, and I'm sure it was like a bodybuilding style split. I think we went there most days of the week. You were working. You had a full-time gig already.
Right.
I was doing my internship, and it's like part-time personal training stuff. So we would work out. But it wasn't right away. So do you recall? Because this is like a little less structured now, obviously,
right.
You know, me and you. But like, what did you recall those kind of workouts maybe around that time and how that, those translated or transitioned from college?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I know I was, once I finished swimming, I sort of had in my head that I always want to do something different as far, you know, it was just constantly, it's all cardio, it's all, I mean, the great thing about that is you can eat whatever you want at any time and never gain weight. You know, I mean, it's just eat it. I mean, you remember our trips to late night pizza.
Yes, I do.
And for me, you know, I just had to eat constantly. And so it was a transition there, but some of it was like, well, you know, I've always been kind of a wannabe bodybuilder. I mean, I never would be committed to, obviously you have to take certain things for the professionals that are doing that aren't necessarily legal. But as far as sort of the focus on individual aspects rather than kind of this total body aspect that I had been dealing with for 10 years swimming. So mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of, I want to transition to something different. So I do feel like it was more of that, okay, we're going to work on legs today. We're doing chest, or, you know, there may be some supersets in there, chest back or chest tries. And not that we were powerlifting or trying to do one rep maxes on bench or deadlifts. I mean, it wasn't that. It was still smart, or it was still functional is not even the right word, but, you know, we weren't doing, you know, reps to 3 or 4. It was 6, 8, 10, 12, that kind of deal.
Yeah. And even like looking back now, like I don't even remember like what we have. I think you're right in terms of like going for bodybuilding. We weren't focused on simply strength building, where it would have been, you know, that three, working from that 3 to 5, maybe, you know, 3 sets of 5 or 5 sets of 3.
Right.
I kind of feel like we stuck to like a 3 to 4, but we were doing higher rep range. I feel like,
Yeah.
Eight to 12s maybe. So we were kind of right. getting into like from the strength into muscular endurance a little bit more.
Yes.
If I could go back now though, I would smack us both probably. Like we were in the prime. We could have been so freaking strong if we would have had somebody like just knowing what they were doing a little bit. So, all right, before we get into like you getting married and having kids, I kind of wanted to touch, a little bit about the nutrition because you had mentioned it a little bit. You were eating college. We both were in college. You were an athlete. You ate like a horse, but you still watch what you ate. Me, maybe a little bit less, but we ate a ton. I remember, just as a side note, I remember going from the YMCA, we were done, and there was a McDonald's right by our house or on the way home, and we would stop by. I remember those, like, they were like the, man, what the heck was that? Like the, I don't know, double, it wasn't like the double quarter pounder. It was something like the big something. Oh, big anyway,
tasty, big tasty.
Yeah, maybe. The big tasty. Big tasty,
yeah.
Yeah, the big and tasty, big tasty, something like that. And we would get like, they were like a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
You guys would get like four of them, and we would go home and just pound hamburgers. Yep. Like you said, though, you know, when you're, in your early 20s, it's a completely different ball game compared to now. So obviously, no McDonald's. That's scaled all the way back. But
right.
Okay, so let's now dive into, you know, you're getting married. Let's say you know you have two children now. If you want to explain a little bit about your work, let's say before you were ordered to stay home. So if you want to, you know, talk a little bit about what you do for a living and maybe give people some context of like office hours and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I work for Wells Fargo Advisors in St. Louis in the home office, just behind the scenes branch operations. And so it's basic hours of your 8 to 5 kind of job, give or take here and there. And of course, you know, as of March, I've been home now. And you'd mentioned, you know, since getting married, you know, I would go to the gym 6 days a week, probably, which is too much. And I think we were pushing 5 or 6 days a week there, you know, kind of before I got married. And, you know, Beth, of course, and she's not somebody that likes going to the gym. And so, you know, and she works. And so getting married, I wasn't necessarily going to be spending 6 days at the gym anymore.
Right.
And especially with kids, I mean, it's just like, you can't be gone all day long. Finish work while, you know, she's been teaching or whatever and decide, oh yeah, I'll see you in 2 hours after I've spent, you know. So, I have a home gym. I've picked up kind of multiple pieces of equipment over the last couple of, you know, actually probably 8 years. Mm-hmm. And so I work out either before or late at night, you know, any number of things. I fit it in wherever I can. It's not 6 days a week. Now, like you said, I'm not a cardio guy. And so I generally tend to probably work out more with weights than maybe what would be professionally recommended. But I guess it depends on the intensity too, right? I mean, it depends on how your body responds to that or if the wear and tear or injuries. And I've fortunately been pretty, you know, aside from some back issues here and there, which I think I hurt my back probably doing squats with you. And that still pops up, you know, 12 years later.
So. I think I kind of vaguely remember that. Yeah.
And so I've definitely had to tailor my workouts to every scenario. And I think that's one of the things that for me, I love working out. And so I always have a drive to continually be doing something as far as physical or in the gym. And so for me, you know, if things get stressful or work, whatever, I'm not somebody that says, well, that's just more stress to go to the gym or I don't really like it. And so that's going to drop off the wayside. You know, that actually would be my sort of stress reliever. I've always kept it up in some capacity.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I have a home gym here. So it may be, I work out at 10:30 at night, or sometimes if I get up, maybe I work out at 5:30 in the morning. So it could change week to week.
Right. So how many days a week do you think you're hitting it now? Are you still going like, it's like 3 to 4 maybe?
No, I'm actually getting in about 5 days a week.
Five.
Yeah. And I dropped off 2019. You know, it was just one of those things, you sort of get in a rut with workouts sometimes. And I have my home gym and 2 or 3 years ago, I picked up a Smith machine, that has a pull, you know, lat pull down and nice. Rows. And so I can do quite a bit of every, you know, what I need to, and I have, you know, spin lock dumbbells so I can add weights and, you know, as far as to do free weight. And, but I got in a little bit of a rut where I wasn't making a lot of progress. I was maybe doing 3 or 4 days a week and I was doing more of that heavy. I wanted to change it up the 5 reps. And I was kind of doing like 3 days a week of bench, squat and deadlift. And I actually,
perfect.
I actually built some strength from that.
Yeah.
But I sort of that tapped out and I noticed myself starting to gain a little bit of weight that maybe I didn't want to gain. I mean, I'm naturally, you mentioned the nutrition. I'm naturally blessed with a pretty good metabolism. Yeah. So I eat cleanly most of the time, but I can get away with not eating cleanly.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I went down to that 3 days a week, I noticed it just started to lose a little bit there.
I gotcha.
So actually in January, I decided to change everything and I went to 5 or 6 days a week, workouts. And honestly, I feel great. I feel really good from doing that. And because I didn't miss a beat because I already had a home gym. So with COVID, you know, a lot of other people, unfortunately, didn't have anywhere to go. And I already had this, you know, equipment that I can pretty much, you know, cover everything.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Yeah, you are a unique case because I remember there was a handful of guys on the swim team who were pretty blessed genetically in terms of like, just like their physical overall appearance. Like I mean, you know, again, you've kind of mentioned it. This isn't like, you know, the mecca of college sports in general, but there were definitely some really good athletes.
Oh, sure.
And you're looking, but when you look at some athletes in some sports, you're kind of like, you don't look athletic. But then when you watch them, it's a whole different ballgame. You're like, wow. You, on the other hand, you were built like completely different. I mean, you really were. You were very lean. You're about, what, 5'11"? I'm not sure what you weighed back then, 180?
No.
Well, me too.
No, I actually only weighed about 165.
165,
during season. Yeah.
But you looked a lot bigger than that just because you had so much lean mass on you already and you weren't pudgy. You were pretty lean. Looks like you're still pretty lean. So you've managed to keep that, which I don't think many guys getting close to 40 years old can say.
No,
so genetically, you were very lucky in that aspect.
Yeah, and if you could say somebody who's genetically lucky, you know, they're 5'10", you know, that's a pretty good thing. But I always, you know, I always felt pretty fit even when I was younger, you know, managed to have a 6-pack and managed to have, and, you know, some people, they were much better swimmers than me, look like they didn't step foot in a gym.
Yeah,
you know, and that always drove me crazy as somebody that really liked the fitness aspect of swimming, really liked the training part of it.
Yeah.
Some of these guys look like they don't, you know, they're not athletic at all, but they're just naturally were gifted swimmers.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm able to, even if I, you know, I'm not somebody that if I am off a little bit, I'm not ballooning up,
yeah,
you know, 30 pounds and totally out of shape.
Yep.
So that metabolism, you know, has sticks and I just really like it, you know, and that's the thing is that it's not really going to go to the way, you know, if things get busy or whatever, I'm going to find a time to do it. And now it may not always be the best workout. Maybe it's going to be quick.
Right.
But I want to find a time to do that because it also mentally just helps me feel better too. So it's
definitely
on both ends there.
So, okay. A side note, I remember there was one other guy on the swim team who I really liked a lot. And I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but didn't he walk onto the baseball team and the track team? Allen, something like that.
I can't
remember the guy's name. He was a good. I thought he was a good buddy of yours. Dark haired guy, a little bit taller than us.
Yeah, Zach.
Zach.
Yeah, oh, he was a phenomenal athlete.
But
yeah.
He was also one of those guys like he didn't hit the gym all the time and he didn't like work super hard, but he was still just naturally athletic and just did it. Oh.
Sorry.
You're good. Did you hear what I said about him?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
So he was naturally one of those guys who genetically gifted, but he was also one of those guys who it sounded like didn't like hitting the weight room and didn't like he wouldn't, you know, practices to him weren't like, all right, I'm going to get better. It was just like, I'm going to go through the motions. But when it came game time, he just like elevated. He was just naturally athletic.
Yeah, I mean, he was a super athlete. He was probably more athletic, you know, if he would go more on the track side of things than swimming.
That's, yeah, I remember that.
And he would go in the gym, but he wasn't a – yeah, he just had a great natural build, you know. I mean, and he would eat – I mean, in college, though, everybody ate great, you know.
It's totally different, right?
It's a whole different ballgame then, and you have to adjust this many years later. But, yeah, swimming is a strange sport because oftentimes, you know, a lot of the great swimmers weren't necessarily – hey, they were a great baseball player. No, oftentimes they kind of got into it, and that's different than, you know, you sometimes find baseball players and or you hear about professional athletes. Well, they were great at baseball. They were great at basketball.
Right.
And they just happened to go into this professional sport. And of course, you know, 5'10 is not the ideal height for swimming, but yeah, the physical nature of it is what I really loved. And I think, you know, and I still miss it a little bit. But sure. There's no time to get into any kind of master swim programs. It's like there's no way I could get into that. But you know they have those out there.
Yeah. So for you, if you were talking to a guy who maybe any kind of like a recommendation for guys who are maybe kind of getting into your situation, maybe they just got married, maybe they just had their first kid, because that's always like it throws a wrench in. You're like, all right, I'm not going to do anything right now, but except focus on this baby or focus on this marriage or, you know, those kind of things get, you know, the things that we want to do or need to do still kind of get put off to the side for a little bit. So if you had like some tips and recommendations for maybe people who work that 9-to-5 job, who are behind a desk, who you no longer have the time to go to the gym, drive 30 minutes, get an hour workout in, drive 30 minutes home, what are some simple recommendations that you'd have for them?
Yeah, a couple of things that helped me. One is, you know, having goals. Now that sounds very generic.
No.
But and I think back to the swimming days is that it's very easy, you know, if you're a competitive athlete and you're in the midst of competitions, there's an automatic built-in, okay, here's this meet I'm training for, right? Or this certain end of the season or training for conference or state or whatever it is. And once you get out of that, it's difficult to say, well, what am I doing to kind of keep me motivated? And one thing I found that even helped me out of where last year, I felt like I got in a little bit of a rut, was dipping, just didn't quite have, I don't know, the passion quite as much to, I was still getting in there, right? But not quite, didn't have any goals. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was like, well, I'm gonna try something different.
Right.
Is picking something. And if it's, you know, in the bodybuilding realm, it may be, and I kind of like doing this and saying, well, all right, look, my biceps don't grow like my tricep. Like my triceps will grow, no problem. But I can't grow my biceps. So it's saying, hey, I'm going to try to come up with some creative ways to work on my biceps or creative ways to work on my chest, or I want to lose weight for some folks, right? It may be, hey, I want to drop 10 pounds or I want to gain 10 pounds, but I want to do it cleanly. And so I think building in those goals really helps because then if you do miss it, you're saying, wait a second, I need to play a little catch up now. Right? If you don't really have any goals and you're just kind of going through the motions, it's like, oh, yeah. No big deal. Right. And some other tips would be, you know, make it evident to the spouse, girlfriend, boy, whatever it is, to say, hey, this is important to me. And not like, hey, this is just a vanity project, right? This isn't a vanity project. Even if it is more in the bodybuilding realm, hey, it's a goal. I'm trying to, you know, the symmetry, and I'm trying to make sure everything, you know, moves properly, you know, or mentally. And so there's a lot of different things that you can do just to make it clear, hey, this is important to me. I know we've got this going on, and maybe not the best time to bring it up like the day after a baby's born. Right. But
right. Yeah, take a week off at least.
Yes. And you just have to be flexible and say, hey, if you're used to somebody that is, you know, one thing that would used to drive me crazy, like I couldn't eat before I would work out when we were working out together. I'd have a really hard time and at this point it's like, you got to do what you got to do. If you have to eat beforehand, you know, or if it's like all of a sudden an hour pops up during the day, like on a weekend, maybe I ate lunch and it's like, wait, you know, my wife's taking the kids somewhere. Shoot, I've got an hour. Let's just make this work.
Just
do it. So really being flexible and not thinking, well, I used to do it this way, and so it has to be this way going forward. I think, especially when you get in a scenario where you're working, you have kids, COVID, hey, what can I do? I may not have weights at home, but I can do Pilates. I can do plyometrics, you know, any number of things, body weight exercises. So it's, you know, flexibility, setting some goals, Short term, I'm not a guy that's like, well, in a year I want to do it. It's like, let's work out a couple months at a time, and then we need to see if we need to change the program, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I like that. What you brought up here, I think all three of those kind of fit into each other. So you mentioned like stating a goal.
Yeah.
And I want to add something to that. So you mentioned like weight gain, weight loss, also maintaining. I think it's very underestimated. Like there's some times where you go through a season of, man, I feel like I don't, you know, am I not making progress? Or maybe you are just, you're maintaining and you don't even know it. Just for the simple fact of like life is super stressful. You're not getting all the sleep you need. Maybe your eating isn't on point. You've got other distractions that are coming up down the road. Who knows what's going on? Maybe you're buying a house. Maybe you crashed your car. I don't know. Weird stuff happens. And it's okay to go through and say, right now I'm just maintaining. I don't need to hit a new PR for weight. I don't need to hit, you know, I don't need to drop 10 pounds right now. This is good for me right now. You can still track that progress, however that looks. And then stating the importance to your partner. You know, Melissa and I have this thing where I create exercise programs for her and I see them come through on my phone. I use an app for it. I see it come through. And if it doesn't happen, sometimes she'll tell me, hey, do you mind if I get this in later? Yeah, of course. I know it's important to her. So stating that it's important and then being flexible. So being flexible with your goals, being flexible with your partner, giving them time to do something. Also, hopefully they're giving you the time to do something. But be flexible with your own schedule, I think, is also important. I put my workouts on my calendar. So I schedule everything. This is the time that I'm going to do something. Yeah. And if I look at my calendar and I know there's no other time in my day where I'm going to get my workout in, there are sometimes I'll give up other things to get my workout in.
Right.
Now, there are also times where I give up my workout because I need to go pick up Kennedy or, you know, fill in the blank. So there are some times, but you have to be forgiving to yourself and know that not everything is going to be perfect. It's not 15 years ago where we were in our 20s. We didn't have a lot going on at all. We could just, I'll do tomorrow's workout at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the next time I go in, it'll be, you know, 12. It doesn't matter. Like there are things that need to get done. Yeah. We need to exercise. We need to strength train. We need to take care of ourselves, but sometimes it needs to be put off and you got to say, that's okay. I'll get to it. So I think those are some very good points.
That's great points.
Well, Jason, I appreciate you hopping on, man. I know you're kind of taking a lunch break here and I got to go pick up the kiddo myself. So, I appreciate you hopping on and this is fun, buddy. I hope we get to catch up soon again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to suggest a topic or be a part of the show, get in touch with Eric on any social media platform @EricFeigl or email fcp@ericfeigl.com.